good morning and good evening, depending
both
on where
at the same
are.
Time. Yeah.
Both at the
yes.
same time.
Yes.
By the marvels of modern technology.
yes.
So, KG, it is so nice to be with you again today.
Thank you. And to
resume our exploration of new synthesis of yoga for overcoming the impasse of modernity, which is the topic that we are considering.
Yes.
And I wanted to touch on some of the things you introduced last time.
Yes.
And also make a comment and then continue for today.
Yes.
I have circulated rather late, I think, last night, the passage from the Life Divine that you spoke about last time.
Yeah, I received a copy of it.
All right.
And I received it.
Okay, thank you. And just to touch on what you introduced, you started with three of the major difficulties that lies in our path today. The first is the hugeness of machinery and the complexity of machinery in yes. which we seem to be enmeshed in a variety of ways today. We are conditioned by very large systems of machinery, both visible and invisible. The second one was the two principal faculties or properties, qualities of the human being that seem to be the principal ways by which we define ourselves and which we are utilizing to deal with our world. And these are egoism and rationality. And you touched on the fact that one of the great difficulties of our modern age is that at some level we feel distinctly the limits of both of these, but there is also a complete refusal to go beyond them.
That's right.
You talked about the limitation or reduction of the human ideal to a kind of a economic ideal of life.
Focus
on economism or a kind of concentration sphere.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello. Yes.
I can.
So, yes. These were three of the forms of modern conditions that you touched on last time.
Yes.
And then you also pointed to the fact that right from maybe the early beginnings of the modern age, from the time of the French Revolution, philosophers like Immanuel Kant,
yes.
You've had a sense of the limits of these problems, particularly the problems of egoism and rationality.
Yes.
And looking for some other kind of principle by which we may live our lives.
Yes.
And we may say that this kind of a philosophical impasse is also sensed very acutely by postmodern philosophers today.
Yes.
But it seems that both the problem of machinery, of being conditioned, of being made into subjects by its visible forms of machinery, as well as the problem of limits of the reason, are very acutely understood and seen by some of the postmodern philosophers who
yes.
have gone so far as to claim themselves to be anti-humanist as a result.
Yes.
But apparently somehow they have not been able to find a solution. They recognize
yes.
the impasse, and they may point to a solution, but the science of an alternate life or alternate way of overcoming this has not been evident to any of them. This was one comment I wanted to make. And And the other thing that you introduced from the Life Divine were the four kinds of ways or the four solutions that the human mind or the modern mind has devised towards the overcoming of the problem between the of the harmony between the individual and the collective.
Yes.
That man and society and their relationship is one of the major problems, and particularly in today's world, which has become so very interdependent, this is a very, very major problem. And so what has humanity done to address this problem? And you looked at the four solutions that Sri Aurobindo has introduced. Actually, you just touched on them because we were at the end of our period by then.
Yes, yes.
And these four solutions are what I have circulated to the whole group to briefly summarize.
Three of them.
But in a sense, he starts with the search for a perfect economic society by the powers of reason and science.
Yes.
And he moves on in that very same paragraph to talk about the reaction to this coming to a kind of submergence of the individual ego in what was being considered as a nation soul. But nation soul that is more like a blind life impulse and a kind of a submergence into some sort of you know, retrogression of consciousness. Then the other one that introduces is a kind of internationalism and a sort of a way by which again the ego is coerced into some sort of a what Sri Aurobindo calls the possibility of a termite civilization.
Yes.
Yes, and then the next one he considers is not so much the submergence of the individual by coercion, but in a sense by consent. So by processes of the enlightenment of the will and the reason through education, through socialization, we may arrive at a certain kind of a consent of the individual to agree to the process of social perfectibility and putting their shoulder, as it were, to the wheel of human progress. And so these are the four that Sri Aurobindo introduces, or these are the three with a sort of, you know, proceeding from the first that he introduces. And I wanted to make a brief comment about this, that when Sri Aurobindo was writing this this paragraph, this chapter and this paragraph, it was just after the Second World War. It was revised, apparently, this part.
Yes, yes.
And so he can, for one, the specter of the rise of false subjectivism of a very dangerous kind of nationalism was still pretty much in the air as aftermath of the Second World War. And so when he's talking about the nation soul over there and the dangers of misunderstanding the nation soul, this is very much what he's thinking about. Now, in today's world, to some extent, perhaps this danger does not exist in the same way because there is a suspicion regarding this idea of nationalism to this degree of the submergence of the individual. But at the same time, it may have risen in another form, in that we find that, you know, a large number of irrational philosophies and religions are now making their claim as a reaction to this rational drive for progress. And whether fundamentalist Islam or a variety of cults, in America we find so many cults, including cults based on Hindu gurus, etc.,
yes,
that seem to offer some kind of non-rational solution, but they are all extremely limited, and in some ways they all demand some kind of orthodoxy. Unquestioning belief. It's a surrender to some sort of unquestioned, non-rational form of living. So I wanted to just touch on that, Kiritji.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah, and then
well, if you'd like
other,
me to.
Yeah, I, one more, Kiritji. I just went on, and that is. The specter of the, you know, of the submergence of the individual into the socialist state, which is the second one that he is introducing there.
Yes.
That, to some extent, seems to be either aborted or at least displaced. So we have now that particular kind of machinery, the machinery of socialism, that has been replaced now to some extent by a different kind of machinery which seems to give the individual greater freedom, but actually conditions the individual and even gives the various kinds of lifestyles and desires by which the individual may live through very subtle methods of propaganda and of market control. So I wanted to sort of touch on that as well. And then, you know, so we are left in a condition where today machinery seems to have become rather subtle, but it is still very much controlling us. And even the forms of education that we have today are really forms of control by which subjectivities are manufactured, so that we become certain kinds of people who push the wheel of progress in a rational and in a sort of a egoistic manner. And we still see that total refusal to move into a higher domain of consciousness or even recognize the impasse. Sorry for taking this long time.
No, it's very good, I think.